You are listening to the place where good ideas go to die. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
You know, it's free parking.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
There's no charge for parking here. Yeah. No, you don't have to pay. Hey, welcome to the program. It is Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Did you not understand what I was saying? I was talking in a different language. It was French. You don't know French? This morning, Alexa called me an annoying bastard because I asked too many questions. Really? And she said because of that, we're canceling your Amazon shipment. Oh, man. And she said if you don't shut up, next time we're going to charge you for shipping. Oh, no, 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 no. She doesn't like me. I swear she is. She didn't like me from the beginning. Ever since I put that Alexa speaker in my room, she's been after me. She's listening to me. She's stalking me. I went to the supermarket yesterday. I was looking at the cans of tuna fish because that's what I do. Turned around. I could have sworn there was a lady behind me. I think it was Alexa. I'm not sure. She was manifesting herself in the form of a human person. Scary. Alexa is an AI, an annoying idiot. That's what she is. All right. These are little things that I say while the theme music's going, and I'm running out of things, so that's the end of that. Welcome to the program. Make yourself comfortable. Just remember, whenever you listen to my show, it's not your fault. Don't blame yourself. It just happens. You did the right thing by coming here. Do you want a big hug? Yeah, not here. Not here. It's embarrassing. Stop it. I don't do public displays of emotion on the radio. I just don't. It's no point. Don't come any closer, by the way. Move your speaker away. I don't like intimacy. Not while I'm doing this. I get self-conscious. Oh, my God. All right. Look, you know, here's something that's, it's not scaring me. It's just causing me pause. I've interviewed people over the years who believe in UFOs, unidentified flying officers. What? Oh, objects. And, aerial phenomenon, APs. T-I-T-S, things in the sky. Anyway, recently the U.S. government, you know who they are? As well as other governments across the globe, have opened their files. This used to be called Project Blue Book way back in the 50s and the 60s. And inching into the 70s, where basically the Air Force and the government were keeping files. Then there was Area 51, which is right next to Area 50. And if you go a little bit too far to the right, it's Area 52. There's a lot of areas. A lot of areas. But in 51, apparently one day, this is in New Mexico, I mean, you know, whatever, a spaceship, an alien craft, crashed into the ground in the desert there. and they found inside an actual alien being, and they nursed it back to health, probed it, gave it a colonoscopy because the being was over 50, and claimed that I don't know whatever happened to it, but they did have the possession of an alien being. Looked a lot like Jay Leno. As a matter of fact, it was Jay Leno. Okay, all right, never mind. It didn't look like Jay Leno. It looked like something you've never seen before. Recently, the U.S. government has opened their files, and when sightings occur, they make them public now, because they had found that some of the sightings of these alien crafts basically take place in trailer parks. If you want an exciting life, get a trailer and stay in a trailer park. You'll see aliens, spaceships, a lot of tornadoes, a lot of weird human beings who are already on the planet. It's just a microcosm of shit is what it is. I've never lived in a trailer park, but I did visit some people who lived in a trailer park. Very nice people. They couldn't afford a house. And very, very nice. So I'm not putting you down, because it's a financial thing sometimes, and I'm not putting you down for that. But my God, you're living in a crazy area, I got to tell you. Anyway, so the aliens and the spaceships, they go to the trailer parks because they think that's a microcosm of America, and it very well may be mentally. But there are so many sightings by astronauts, by Air Force pilots, airplane pilots, television pilots, all kinds of people who have credibility. Police officers, etc., soldiers, dentists, people who work at the Pottery Barn, a couple of people at IKEA who they still haven't found, people like that, a couple of food demonstrators at a Costco. These people have sighted alien spacecraft. And they're reputable people. They're very reputable. More reputable than you. Not much more than me, but a little more than you. So they've opened up the files, and they are extraordinary. This is no Bigfoot or a Loch Ness monster. This is heavy stuff. Are they seeing craft that has been technologically developed by our weapon systems and our high-flying technology? I don't think so. I don't think so. Are they coming from another planet, from another galaxy? Sure. Why not? If you think, oh God, if you think that we are the only intelligent life in the great expanse of the universes and beyond, then you're a small-minded person, because anything's possible. Yes, technology can advance to the point where you can visit different galaxies. Can you travel through time? Not from Miami to New York. All the flights get delayed. So our technology, not so much. Alien technology, probably. So I keep an open mind. I mean, physically, that's impossible. Psychologically, I keep an open mind that anything is possible. I've met some human beings that are so unintelligent that it seems like there's got to be intelligent life somewhere else, because it's not happening here. I mean, on this planet, they actually have people called Trump supporters. I know. What's up with that? That is far out. That is from a distant planet. I kid you. I don't care about your political affiliation. Actually, I do. So, yeah, keep an open mind. This Loch Ness Monster thing, you know, that's stupid. That's just stupid. That's just a gigantic log floating in this big lock. Loch Ness is very, very deep, and there's all kinds of, I don't know what's at the bottom, probably somebody's shoes. I don't know. Maybe a few boats. Maybe an ankle bracelet from some young lady who was playing with it on her foot, and she was dipping her foot in the lock, and it got off, and the ankle bracelet went to the bottom of the lock. I don't know. It's possible. I'm sure it happened to someone named Becky. Because anything's possible. Anything's possible. The second coming, I wasn't here for the first one. It's a little overdue because everybody says that it's coming and doesn't seem to. I think that's a problem that they have at the airports. Some people are waiting for a second coming. I'm just waiting for the American Airlines flight to land at LaGuardia. That doesn't seem to happen on time either. You see, ladies and gentlemen, our technology is really primitive to others of possibility. To us, we're amazed by things. This artificial intelligence thing, it's bugging the crap out of me. I think I mention this on just about every show that I do because it bugs me so much. It's the bane of my existence. I don't know what that means, but it sounded so good. I don't know. I'm wondering about the human race right now. Human race seems quite self-destructive. I don't get that. This is supposed to be a beautiful planet, and it is. I mean, granted, I haven't been to the other planets. I saw the moon stuff back in the late 60s. I was alive then, quite young, but yet breathing. I saw a man walk on the moon in black and white on television. I saw probes, little ships landing on Mars, little Land Rovers going all over the place, like golf carts, like, you know, you can play golf on Mars because now we got the golf carts up there, at least. No golfers, but a golf cart, one of those little motorized ones, you know. We get soil samples. That's to see if it's safe to go to the beach. You know, red tide and all that stuff. Yeah, I've seen the Mars thing. But that's about it. This planet seems to be quite beautiful. But it's inhabited by morons. Have you noticed that lately? I don't know if it's always been like that or not, because I haven't always been here. The time I have spent on Earth, God, I'm surrounded by a bunch of idiots. And I'm not talking about their intelligence. I'm talking about their societal habits. They're all weird. They're all power hungry and money hungry, and they're really nasty. And then there are nice ones. But they seem to be kind of like, what's the word for it? Vapid? I don't know. And then the real intelligent ones can't understand what they're saying. And socially, they're misfits. Why are really intelligent, incredible people social misfits? What does that say about general society? We're a bunch of morons. And when a real intelligent person like Einstein or some scientist comes along, they're basically very uncomfortable with society itself, because society itself is a bunch of morons. Now, I don't mean the word moron in any type of derogatory sense, just that they are not of the ilk of intelligent people. Intelligent people seem to be the exception. Unintelligent, That's the control. And psychologically, that doesn't make me feel real comfortable about this. Why can't this be a perfect society? Why are the ones that are out to destroy everything, why are they the powerful ones? And the rest of the people that are okay are the quiet little meek assholes that walk around like, oh, what's going on? That's why you can take over with your power, because it's easy. Because you got a bunch of people in society just walking into walls. They don't know what the hell's going on. They don't follow anything. Hey, you know, the sky is purple. Well, I guess the sky's purple. He just said it was. No, look up. It's blue. No, he said it's purple, and he's running for president, so must be purple. He's a businessman. He must be smart. Oh, wow. I'm not sure that's the excellent description of a businessman. Anyway, perhaps I'm getting a little too deep into this, and if you're not into it or this is intimidating you, then I apologize a lot. I'm not out to hurt anybody or screw anybody over. No, quite the opposite. I don't know what the opposite of it is, actually, but no, I'm out for people to just... I was brought up in a love generation. Can you believe that? The love generation. It was free sex. I didn't have to pay a dime for it. Could walk up to somebody. Hey, want to have sex? Sure, why not? What the hell? Yeah. This is before all the sexual diseases, or if there were any, they just didn't care. Yeah, it was a fine time. We were hippies, ladies and gentlemen. We were a little hippie around, you know, around the Midwest area. But we were peace loving. We had something called a peace sign. It wasn't something we wrote. We did write peace on signs, but by putting up a couple of fingers, it meant peace, or I'm going to poke you in the eyes, one or the other. And we're a generation of peace lovers. We no war, peace. Peace, no war. That was the right attitude. Of course, when someone's attacking you, you can't just stand there and go peace and put your two fingers up. I mean, it doesn't work either. But that's what the generation was. And then somehow that generation melded into these stubborn, idiotic, flustered people. I don't know what happened here. Love and understanding and peace? Threw that out of the dictionary a while ago. That's a shame. Because that would have been good. If everybody loved each other, I mean, not physically, you know, just was accepting of the other person, let's put it that way. And we all wanted peace, and we just really would not tolerate any kind of dictatorship power or cult leadership over us. We would never allow that. That was good. I don't know what happened. I just don't know what happened. You can't blame this one on COVID either. This is way before COVID, too. All right, that's my social discussion for today. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, my guest will be joining us. I'm going to give them a chance to back out. I think that'd be a great idea. I think I'm being very caring by giving them a chance to back out right now. All right, we'll be right back after this.
Looking to have a few laughs this weekend? Come to Comedy Night at that bar near your house. Hosted by that local comic who hasn't moved past open mic nights for 20 years. And featuring that guy who told everyone he was moving to Los Angeles to become a famous comic and was back in 3 months. That girl whose friends all say she's really funny. And your headliner, that guy who was nearly famous until it turned out he liked to send pictures of his penis to strangers. It's a night full of fun and laughs, and it's happening at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Hi, Dr. Saltz. How are you?
Very good, Ron. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure having you here. Dr. Gail Saltz is a psychiatrist and best-selling author. And this is an interesting piece called The Power of Different. It's the link between disorder and genius. The inference here is that in order to be above the crowd, you have to be different.
So what I would say is not in order to mm-hmm. so much as actually having one of these differences, yeah. A symptom of mental illness, a learning disability, actually is hardwired linked to very particular strengths, depending on what the issue is you're struggling with. Mm-hmm. So that in some ways, people who do have these differences mm-hmm. Have a very particular ability, heightened creativity, original thought, innovative thought, pattern recognition, visual-spatial relation ability, photographic memory. It depends on yeah. what the issue is. But the point is that, to some degree, these people actually, yeah, have a bit of an edge in terms of the potential for genius or extraordinary talent.
Yeah. I mean, we look back at people like Einstein, I suppose, and I don't know much about him, but the connotation is that his focus was so extreme as a genius that he was not like the rest of us. And that makes... And that,
yes, I think there is, you know, of course we can never 100% retrospectively yeah. diagnose someone, yeah. but there's a lot of evidence, for instance, in Einstein's early life, that he could hyper-focus when mm-hmm. it came to, you know, physics and math and things that he was very engaged with, but that in other areas, he not so much. In fact, mm-hmm. he actually, in some ways, performed very poorly as a student in other
right.
subject matter
right.
And was even removed from school. And he had a lot of impulsivity and difficulty in relationships, all things that suggest attention deficit disorder, mm-hmm. Which is known to be linked to this high incidence of original thought, innovative, creative thought. Because people with ADD have difficulty
yes.
regulating their concentration, but when they're engaged, they have sort of more creative thought, more original thought.
Yeah, I mean, there's a term that is, it's degrading, but the term is idiot savant, and it has the word idiot in it, so it's not a wonderful term, but its definition is interesting.
Well, so being a savant, which is a category often of people who actually are somewhere on the autism spectrum,
uh-huh.
Who have extreme, again, this is a link
yes.
between something that has to do with hardwiring, why it's difficult for you to, let's say, socialize
mm-hmm.
or look people in the face or read social cues, but that same hardwiring also often means for some people that they have extraordinary
yes.
ability. It may be in math. It may be verbal.
Yes.
It may be, as someone I profile in the book, for example, Matt Savage is musically is a savant. I mean, he has
yes.
perfect pitch, yes. read music at a very young age, you know, played with the Boston Symphony as a child.
Uh-huh.
You know, so yes, extraordinary ability.
Is there, I don't know what I'm talking about, but is it like a balance where if you're incredibly genius in one sense in the brain, that you may be lacking in another part of the brain? In other words, can you not have it all? It's just that the balance is different.
You know, I don't want to say you can't have it all, because as really what I elucidate in the book is we all have very different brains from each
right.
other, and so there are going to be, even amongst people who have no issues going on, we have different wiring. But so some people obviously have a lot, let's say, you
yes.
know, a balance of a lot of different strengths. But for many people, and particularly in this arena that I'm talking about, there does seem to be one area
yes.
of really, you know, intense ability or strength. And so, for instance, you might be sort of more on the mathy side or more on the visual spatial side,
right.
Or more on the, you know, what we used to call Asperger's,
yes.
But now we call mild autism. They were thought of as these sort of little adults.
Right.
Why can they speak that way? Because
right.
they had incredible verbal
right.
skills.
Right.
So yes, there is often one area that's really stands out.
Then there's what I see is that when you have incredible abilities, then your social skills may lack because your social reaction is that I'm alone in the world. Nobody understands me. I don't mix with people. I know I'm different. And then you start getting like depressed, and those start turning into anxiety. And I mean, does that feed into that area, or is it all brain chemical?
Well, no, I think you're bringing up a super important point, which is, you know, it's 2017, but we still stigmatize mental health issues. And the problem with that is that often people who are struggling do feel isolated. They do feel alone. They don't feel that they can say what's going on and feel still embraced, let's say, socially in society. And that keeps people from getting treatment. It hurts people's self-esteem. It may cramp their ability to, frankly, demonstrate the gift that they have. And it's important for everyone, but for parents to recognize that these are common. You know, evolutionarily, there's a reason that these have stuck around, these kinds of problems. And to some degree, it may be because of the things, the strengths that come along with it. But close to half of all Americans have, at some point in their life, a mental health diagnosis. So it's not like this is a rare thing. But we still, unfortunately, shame people. And that does keep them isolated, which, as you point out, can make them feel more depressed.
Yeah. Well, even the president does it, so I guess it's okay. Anyway, no comment. You don't have to comment. Don't say anything.
Goldwater rule. Can't comment.
Yeah, can't comment. So is the message that we should embrace people that we have talked about in that category, and that would help socially bring that back to everybody having worth?
Yes. I think that we need to recognize that if you are suffering with one of these issues, you know, the brain is an organ like any other organ. This is not your fault. This is not a moral failing. You know, this is a, you know, something going on with neurons, something going on with chemicals, something that needs attention and needs treatment, because treatment will mean that you can get back on track and suffer far less. And that's important. So I'm certainly saying people should get treatment where needed, but I'm also saying that we should recognize and help them recognize the strength that they have and be able to utilize that and play to that, whether it's for, you know, for vocation or for the greater good of society. I mean, if you look back at the Einsteins and the Van Goghs and the Hemingways and the Abraham Lincolns, I mean, where would we be without them? You know, the most iconic geniuses in history did have a mental health issue or learning disability. And, you know, if we removed them because of stigma, you know, there would be no history there, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I go as far to say, and I'm not in your field, I go as far to say that every one of them did. Michelangelo, they were all like extraordinary people who were so focused that it and so talented that they became outcasts.
Well, you know what? It's not because they were talented. It's because they had this difference about them that really isolated them. And so even though they contributed so much to our world, right, in art and music and leadership, they suffered a lot in their lifetimes because socially, you know, they had difficulty integrating.
Yeah. This fascinating subject. We've not talked about it on the show before, and I thought we had talked about everything. This is pretty cool. The book's available everywhere.
It is pretty cool. I hope, you know, it's out today. Mm-hmm. I hope people will take a read, because undoubtedly they or someone in their lives or their child will have something to contend with, and I really try to give people a path for how to make the most of their gift.
Great. And actually, if there is someone like that, they might find comfort in the book in the sense that, I guess, you know, with any, if you want to call it disease or any differences, We always find comfort when we find other people that are in the same boat as we are. And
well, I think if people will take a look at the numbers,
yeah,
they will see there are many people in that boat.
Yeah.
We just don't talk about it. And
we are now.
Yes, I think it is important. Yeah. It is important to recognize that they're not alone and to seek some help.
Yeah. Is there a website people can visit for more information?
Sure. My website is www.drgailsaltz.com. That's drgailsaltz.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can tweet me also, Dr. Gail Saltz, at Dr. Gail Saltz. And of course, it's available, you know, everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere books are.
It's called The Power of Different, The Link Between Disorder and Genius. By the way, Saltz is S-A-L-T-Z. So that people can find you. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been fascinating. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you to my guests, and thank you to you for stopping by. You know what? You know, I'm going to do another show tomorrow. I hope you join me then, because I do this every weekday. I know. You don't have to say that. No, you don't have to say that. Be nice. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until then, I wish you peace. Until then, I don't know what you're listening to me on, but if it's one of those platform things and not a radio station, could you please, like, follow me? I'm over here. Nope, now I'm over here. Nope, now I'm over here. Follow me. Follow me. Or like me. You don't have to love me. Just like me. Harmless. Push one of those buttons on your thing. And thank you. I wish you peace.